My name is Colleen Cloud, and I have been attending this church for about 2 years. Prior to becoming a member, I had gone church shopping and found the members here to be friendly and family-like. When Phil asked who would like to volunteer to do a sermon, I did not answer to please Phil. I answered because my guardian angel elbowed me in the ribs and told me the subject matter. Phil and I just had to work on the sermon. A farm boy accidentally overturned his wagon load of wheat on the road. The farmer who lived nearby came to investigate. "Hey, Willis," he called out, "forget your troubles for a while and come and have dinner with us. I'll help you overturn your wagon." "That's very nice of you," Willis answered, "but I don't think my dad would like me to." "Ah, come on, son," the farmer insisted. "Well, okay," the boy finally agreed. "But Dad won't like it." After a hearty dinner, Willis thanked the host. "I feel a lot better now, but I know Dad's going to be real upset." "Don't be silly," said the neighbor. "By the way, where is he?" "Under the wagon," replied Willis. The story of the Good Samaritan, truly one of the most iconic of all Bible stories, a story very well known to Christians alike. You may recall there is a California state law of the same name. The first California Good Samaritan law passed in 1959, and it stated that, quote, "No person who in good faith and not for compensation, renders emergency care at the scene of an emergency, shall be liable for any civil damages resulting from any act or omission," end quote. In this case, Good Samaritan refers to someone who renders aid in an emergency to an injured person on a voluntary basis. Under these laws, which basically grant immunity, if the Good Samaritan makes an error while rendering emergency care, he or she cannot be held liable for damages in court of law. When I Googled it, I found that all states in the country have a version of this law on their books. Just a side note, they are all about the same, except for the state of Vermont. In Vermont, it is the duty of the person to stop and render aid. If you don't, you are breaking the law. Today's scripture reading is Luke 10, verses 25 through 37. Just then the lawyer stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he said, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" He said to him, "What is written in the law? What do you read there?" The lawyer answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And Jesus said to him, "You have given the right answer. Do this and you will live." But wanting to justify himself, he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" In Greek, neighbor means someone who is near. In Hebrew, it means someone you have an association with. Jesus is about to change all that. Jesus is being tested by a question posed by a lawyer, someone with profound knowledge of the Jewish law. Jesus initially answers the lawyer's question with a question of his own, giving the lawyer the opportunity to demonstrate his expertise, which he is all too pleased to do. First, he quotes Deuteronomy 6, verse 5, And then Leviticus 19, verse 18. The first commandment, to love the Lord with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, tells us everything. We are everything we do, everything we think, and everything we say. All that we are must be involved in loving God. The second commandment is the direct result of what happens to us when we love God so completely. We love our neighbors as ourselves. Hear now the parable of the Good Samaritan, verses 30 to 37. Jesus replied, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell into the hands of robbers, who stripped him, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a priest was going down that road. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, he passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan was traveling, came near him. And when he saw him, he was moved to pity. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, having poured oil and wine on them. Then he put him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day, he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper and said to him, 'Take care of him, and when I come back, I will repay you whatever more you spend.' Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers?" The lawyer said, "The one who showed him mercy." Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." Will you pray with me? Dear Lord, may the sermon I will be giving to the congregation today fill their hearts with gladness and comfort. May they hear your words through my mouth. Amen. The lessons for this morning. 1. Our neighbor is anyone we encounter. Since we are all God's creations, we are to love mankind as his Son has taught us. 2. We are to set aside our own prejudice, our own likes and dislikes, to show love and compassion to all we meet. 3. Jesus calls us to love courageously, spontaneously, and perhaps even recklessly. Choosing a Samaritan as the good guy in this story is surprising, not only to the confident lawyer questioning Jesus. The disciples were shocked as well. In the previous chapter, Luke tells us in verses 51 through 56 how the disciples were turned away from spending the night in a nameless Samaritan village because they were heading to their temple in Jerusalem. Disciples James and John were so mad. They asked Jesus if they could call fire and brimstone down upon the village and kill everyone in it. Jesus told them no. There was no brotherly love between Samaritans and Jews. Indeed, the animosity between them was palpable. The Samaritans were the remnants of Israel's northern tribes that remained after all the tribal leaders were exiled when Israel fell to Assyria in 722 BC. When the Assyrian settlers moved in, these remaining Israelites eventually intermarried with the Assyrians, thus diluting their Jewishness. From then on, the Samaritans were viewed as a mixed race, having impure blood and impure souls. Hostility between the Samaritans and the remaining Judean Jews continued to escalate and finally came to a violent climax in 109 B.C., when the Judean king at the time destroyed the Samaritan's temple. All the images and players Jesus uses in the story of the unfortunate traveler are familiar and deliberately obvious. The road between Jericho and Jerusalem, about 20 miles long, was steep and dangerous, where travelers were frequently beaten and robbed. In the priest and the Levite, Jesus clearly used people we would identify as moral and upright as the bad guys. Love your neighbor should have motivated both of them to come to the aid of the wounded traveler. Making the Good Samaritan the hero was about the most radical choice to show us that we must set aside our own prejudice and show love and compassion to all we meet. Our neighbor is anyone we encounter. Since we are all God's creations, we are to love mankind as his Son has taught us. If the Jewish priest and the Levite had every reason to stop and help the wounded traveler, the Samaritan had several good reasons not to stop. First, the wounded man is apparently not a Samaritan. If he were well, he would normally revile the Samaritan, who is now his only hope. Second, this traveling Samaritan has a valuable beast of burden, a mule or a horse or an ox. And third, he has money on him as well, enough to give 2 denarii to the innkeeper and promise him whatever more he may need. Obviously, a gang of dangerous robbers is in the vicinity. But the Samaritan not only turns aside to help the wounded man, he shows compassion, taking the time to do what he can there at the roadside. Before even moving the man to safety, he administers basic first aid using wine and oil and bandages. Only then does the Samaritan carefully move the traveler to a safe place at a nearby inn. Make no mistake, loving our neighbor as ourselves is not necessarily easy, comfortable, or safe. In fact, it is not any of those things. It cost the Good Samaritan to love this way. Whatever business he was attending to on his journey was put on hold. He put himself at risk. He risked losing his animal, his money, his very life. It cost him expensive supplies. It cost him to have a wounded traveler cared for at the inn. Jesus calls us to love courageously, spontaneously, and even recklessly. As I was preparing this sermon, I kept thinking about the golden rule. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Yet, why is it often so hard for us to do? It is because we seem to forget where our strength comes from and keep trying to do it on our own. When we focus on a loving God with the whole of our beings, love for our neighbor as ourself will flow out of us. There are lots of verses in the Bible about living out our compassion. I refer to just a few. Psalm 103, verse 13. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. Think outside your own circle. If care is needed and you don't have the means, then call for help. Since God is our Father, then we are all his children. If we are all his children, then we are all siblings, no better and no worse than the next child. Let us care for each other. Ephesians 4, verse 32. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Live with forgiving hearts. Colossians 3, verse 12. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. I was traveling at night down Balboa Boulevard near Parthenia recently in an area without streetlights. I saw an elderly man standing beside his vehicle stuck in the middle of Balboa without emergency flashers. Cars were zooming by. I was afraid he would be hit. I pulled into the gas station and called AAA to get a tow truck for him. I gave them my card number and told them to charge me if they needed to. I then made them promise to follow the man home to make sure he was safe. I knew nothing about cars, but I knew AAA did. And lastly, Isaiah 49, verses 15 and 16. Can a mother forget a baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born? Though she may forget, I will not forget you. See, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are ever before me. Assist those who have a family member who has dementia or Alzheimer's or who are in the land of forgetfulness. There is such an emotional and physical strain on the family that outside help is generally much appreciated. It is not the job of the patient to remember family and friends. It is the job of the family and friends to remember the patient until he or she makes it to heaven. Help the primary caregiver by respite care. Care for the patient for a few hours, once in a while to give the caregiver a much needed break. Offer to do grocery shopping, to water the lawn, or to take the family a meal. Jesus calls us to love courageously, even recklessly. Now go and do likewise. Amen.